God, we thank you that we can come to you. Lord, though I know there are many people with so many unanswered questions, God, relation, destruction, loss of life, God. Lord, I know that there are some that look heavenward, God, and wonder why. Lord, I pray, God, that, Lord, you would speak to their heart and life, God, that there would be a comfort and a peace and a knowledge, God, of you, God. That you still have the whole world in your hands, God. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you in faith, believing, God, that we can hang on to hope, God, and a life far beyond this. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you, God. We lift you up, God. We give you praise and glory, for you are good, God. In spite of the circumstances that may surround our lives, God, we can still look heavenward and with faith believe that you are good, God. Your strength, your power, your help is there. We love you, Jesus. We honor you, God. We praise your precious name. Hallelujah.
Never of my soul, hold me close. Never let me go, for I can live a moment without you. Lover of my soul, speak to me. Let me know just what you want me to be. I want to be pleasing, Lord, to me. Lover of my soul, hold me close. Never let me go, for I can live a moment without you. Lover of my soul, speak to me. Let me know just what you want me to be. I want to be pleasing, Lord, to thee. Lover of my soul, hold me close. Never let me go, for I can live a moment without you. Lover of my soul, speak to me. Let me know just what you want me to be. I want to be pleasing, Lord, to lover of my soul, hold me close. Never let me go, for I can live a moment without you. Lover of my soul, speak to me. Let me know just what you want me to be. I want to be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And every need I have, I know you can supply. In every situation, you're right there by my side. No matter the trial, I know you'll see me through. Lord, I know I can depend on you. Every need I have, I know you can supply. In every situation, you're right there by my side. No matter the trial, see me through, Lord. I know I can depend on you.
Can we sing this together one more time?
Every need I have, I know you can supply. In every situation, you're right there by my side. No matter the trial, you'll see me through, Lord. I know I can depend on you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Lord, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. And give the opportunity to walk around and greet one another. There'll be an usher at the back of the offering plate. You can give at the same time as we sing some more into the Lord.
You are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me? How that you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How that you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we worship you. We praise you. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. Ah, it feels so good to be in his presence. Ah, can you lift your hands? You lift your voice. You're a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, God. We thank you for your goodness, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. We are going to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. As we mentioned earlier, please continue to remember all those affected by recent tragedies, calamities in our world. If you have a prayer request, why don't you slip up your hand? We'll call upon you, and you can make it known to the church. Man, God, just... All right. Okay, certainly. Anybody else? Sister Woods? Certainly. All right. Let's continue. Member of the Matt Woods down in the Keys area helping with a lot of the cleanup. Got family down in the area, and he's traveling back this weekend. So let's remember him, Sister D. Goodness. Certainly. All right. Kathy. All right. Let's remember Kathy in prayer, certainly. Sister Pat. Goodness. Right. And his name was Coda, did he? Coda. All right. Let's remember little Coda in prayer, certainly. Sister Christy. You know his name? All right. All right. All right, certainly. Anybody else? All right, why don't we all stand? Let's go to the Lord right now in prayer. Dear Jesus, we love you. How we thank you that we can come to you with cares and concerns of this life, God. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that you are there. Help, Lord, we pray for this young man, God, Coda, God, dealing with the family situation, God. Lord, only you know all that he's been exposed to and all the things he's had to deal with, God, and all the questions his young mind has entertained. Lord, I pray that you would be a peace, God, be a help, be a strength, God. Let him turn to you, God. Lord, if there's any way we can help the situation, God, help us to reach out as a church, as a body of believers to help, God, to be strength, Lord, for this young lady, Kathy, dealing with an uncertain diagnosis. God, I pray that you would speak comfort and peace into her heart, God, that she have an assurance in you, God, that your hand of help and protection is upon her life, God, for others' needs mentioned here tonight. God, we believe and we trust in you, God. We know that you have the power to work, God. Help us to be the hands that reach forth to help. Pray to strengthen, God. Let our words be words of life and encouragement and strength in whatever the situation is, God. We believe and trust in your power to work and to move, God. Lord, keep your hand upon all those, God, dealing with the tragedies, God, in our world. God, we know, God, that you still have all power, God. You still have it all in control, and we trust you, God. We place it in your hands, God, to do your will. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. And brethren, I believe I left my clicker back there. Thank you. I do want to say thank you. I heard good reports about the missionary service last Wednesday night with Brother and Sister Pace. Thank you for your response and coming and supporting. They're very complimentary of the church and their treatment and your hospitality. So thank you so much. Continuing in our study entitled Enjoying the Journey. And I'm going to go ahead and say this at the beginning. This is probably going to be one of the more difficult lessons to teach because of the subject matter that we're going to deal with. And sometimes in dealing with the subject matter that we're going to talk about, finding joy in the midst of that journey is difficult. But as we've stated from the get-go, that part of this, an invitation to real relationship with God, is understanding that even in the pain, even in the loss, even in the heartbreak, even in the what we might see as negatives of life, those things that may weigh heavy upon our heart and our mind, suffering loss and pain and those things, that God is even in the midst of those things. And that there is an opportunity for us, even in the midst of loss, to have gain. Essentially, that is what we're going to talk about in the subject matter for tonight. I want us to look at Matthew chapter number 16. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verse number 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now let me just say this from the onset. Anytime Christianity is preached without a cross, it is not true Christianity. For us to think that our walk in relationship with God will not include suffering and will not include pain and will not include loss is not in any way, shape, or form the gospel or the teaching of truth that my Bible teaches. We will experience pain, suffering, loss. There is a cross. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, in other words, if you want to follow me, if you truly want relationship with me, there's some things that you're going to have to do. You're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to take up your cross and follow me. So anytime Christianity or following Christ is preached without an understanding that that cross will include suffering and agony and loss and pain, and anytime it's just preached that this is just a feel-good religion and, you know, you just, it's all blessings and it's all, you know, sunrises, unfortunately, that is not the case. But we also need to understand that even in those dark nights, even in those times of pain and suffering, even in those losses, even in bearing those crosses, that there is relationship with Jesus Christ in those things. That there is gain that can be gotten, if you will, in the midst of loss. The subject matter for tonight is loss is more. Loss is more. To gain in losing. Now, I realize, and I said this from the onset, it's a difficult concept. In relationship with God, one of the most difficult concepts to grasp is how we gain by losing. How do we truly gain by losing? And I know we many of us know the verses and we've read them, but how does that concept really work in our life, in our walk in relationship with God? How do we find joy in a journey that does include pain, that does include suffering, that does include loss, that does include the valleys and the mountaintops? How do we find joy in that journey? How do we find gain in the midst of loss? How are we able to take from those experiences, from those times of suffering, from those heartbreaks, and from those letdowns, and those disappointments, and those difficult times? How are we to take from that and find gain in our relationship with God? How do we truly understand that there can be joy in the midst of the journey that does include loss? It does include suffering and pain. I want to draw your attention back to the focus verse. And Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now let's talk about the context of these two verses of scripture found in Matthew chapter 16. And maybe you know this, but what dialogue between Peter and Jesus precedes this passage? What takes place between Peter and Jesus right before Jesus utters these statements in verse 24 and 25? Anybody know? Yes. The Bible says that Jesus, at this time, Jesus began to tell his disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem. He was going to be delivered up and he was going to be killed. And Peter, the Bible says, he takes Jesus aside and rebukes Jesus. Jesus, you're talking about going to Jerusalem and suffering and dying. It's not to be. That's not to happen. Jesus, stop talking like that in front of these men. Stop saying those things in front of the disciples. And the Bible says Peter rebuked Jesus. Now, that's some chutzpah, if you will. Peter rebukes Jesus. But then Jesus' response is somewhat harsh. He looks at Peter and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest the things which be of man and not of God." You don't savor what God savors. You're not looking things in the right perspective. I'm telling you, I've got to go to Jerusalem, and I've got to be delivered up and to the elders, and I'm going to be crucified. And you want to rebuke me and tell me that that's not to happen, that I'm not to experience this suffering and this pain, and you're telling me not to. And I'm telling you, get behind me, Satan. If you don't savor what is of God, you savor what is of man. You don't understand the principle or the concept, Peter, of gain from loss. You don't understand that I'm about to go do something that, yes, as a man, I'm going to experience much suffering and much pain, but there's going to be gain on the other side. Get thee behind me, Satan. And then Jesus asked the question. Once he makes the statement about someone who loses his life shall find it for his sake, Jesus asked the question, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his soul? This is directly after verse 24 and 25. Peter and Jesus have the dialogue. Peter rebukes Jesus. Jesus tells him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And then we go into the text where Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. For whosoever shall find his life shall lose it, or save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it." And then Jesus asked the question, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his soul? And I know I've probably mentioned this before, but would not the inverse of this question be true? What would it profit a man if he loses the whole world and yet gains his soul? Think about it. If the question, and obviously we understand in the context of what Jesus is asking, in other words, it doesn't profit a man anything if he gains the whole world and yet loses his soul. Then the inverse of that is also true. That it would profit a man everything if he loses the whole world yet gains his soul. And then I begin to think about this. You see, oftentimes when we think about soul and we think about what Jesus is saying, we often think about it, and I understand it is applicable, and it certainly is. It is dealing with eternity. But what if it's talking about more than just eternity? What if it's talking about more than just the hereafter? What if Jesus is not just referring to the hereafter? What if he is also referring to the here and now? What if Jesus is also referring? Because I went back and I looked up that word soul. And the word soul is used, and it's the understanding of one's breath of life. It's the same word used back in Hebrew. It's the same meaning, if you will, back in the very beginning when the Bible says that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. We understand. We grasp the concept that we are eternal beings, that we are, if you will, there is a part of every one of us that lives on or dies forever, if you will. We understand that concept. But what if the understanding, what if in temporal loss there is eternal gain? Not just gain that awaits in the hereafter, but eternal gain that starts right here. What if in losing right now, we're gaining right now? Stay with me. I know, maybe this is a new concept. But what if in losing right now, I'm gaining right now? What if in temporal loss there is eternal gain? But that eternal gain is not waiting for the hereafter. That eternal gain is starting right here and right now. That even right now in the midst of my loss, I can find joy in the journey knowing that I am getting some gain. That there is profit that is coming unto my soul right here and right now. Profit that will be with me all the way into eternity. What if the understanding is this? That even right here and right now in my loss and in my pain and in my suffering, I can find joy in the journey knowing that God is there and there is gain to be had even in the midst of it, and that gain will carry me all the way through. So let's talk about this losses more. If it's true, if loss even now and pain and suffering and heartbreak, loss in all its form, does this mean that loss in all its forms, pain, suffering, heartbreak, grief, sorrow, etc., actually adds to my life and my relationship with God? Is that what you're telling me, Pastor? Are you telling me that these things of sorrow and grief and pain and suffering and loss and all these things that I experience even now in this thing called life, that they can actually add to my life? That I can get gain from this loss? Yes. Well, then how? You see, loss provides a narrowed, stripped-down, beauty from ashes and life from death perspective that forces us to evaluate what really matters. Loss helps us understand what really matters. It causes us to focus more on what is important and what really matters. It causes us to see things not only from a today perspective, but from a tomorrow perspective and from an eternal perspective. It causes us to have hope even right here and right now that even as we believe that what we believe in is more than just for today. It's for tomorrow and for the next day. And though I may be experiencing loss and I may be suffering right now, there is coming a day when there will be no more suffering and there will be no more loss and there will be no more tears. And so I can look ahead and understand that awaits me. But even now, I can find joy in the journey. C.S. Lewis wrote this: pain insists on being attended to. God whispers in our pleasure, speaks in our consciousness, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to the world. Now, I would say this. I when it comes to real grief and sorrow and loss, at this point in my life, the closest person that I've lost in the sense of losing someone is my uncle. I haven't had to stand over a casket of mother or father, or child, or spouse. And so maybe, just maybe, I'm not really the one to be teaching this. But maybe if we can all draw from some other people and some other examples, and we can see that scripturally this concept is there. The understanding that even in loss, even in pain, and even in suffering, there is gain to be had. That even though I'm full of sorrow and I'm grief and there's time for that, I'm going to experience that. And God created me an emotional being, and that's part of my soul and the essence of who I am, to have those experiences and go through those times in life. And Ecclesiastes shows us that there's a time for everything under heaven. There's a season. There's times for all of this. And we do experience all these things. But even in these things, can I find joy? Even in sorrow, even in loss, even in having to say goodbye for now with friends and loved ones and people near and dear to my, can I still find joy? Can I still see a silver lining when a dark cloud is so obvious? Loss and pain are the most unchosen catalyst to an authentic faith journey. For in staring loss in the face and not being swallowed up in despair, our faith solidifies and our hope flourishes in spite of the hardship. When we're truly tested, when we truly have the loss, truly dealing with the pain and the suffering, and we're truly going through something which drives us to our knees, and we realize it's in those moments sometimes that we realize it's here where my faith is solidifying. It's here where my resolve is becoming stronger. It's here in those times of loss. It's here in those times of grief where I am starting to understand more about God and His way, and I'm starting to see and understand more things according to His word. In this loss and in this time of heartbreak, I'm starting to understand more about Him, and I'm starting to fellowship more with Him. Loss and pain will draw us into deep layers of our life we might have known existed, but heretofore had not experienced. Layers of who we are. These layers are the essence of who we are, our soul. It's in these times we find out what we're really made of. It's in these times, in these trying times, in this furnace of affliction, and in these losses, and in these sufferings, and in this pain that we're dealing with, and in these times where it seems like nobody else understands, and nobody else really sees what I'm going through and what I'm experiencing, and they may be able to see it on the outside, but they don't know what's going on the inside, and there's turmoil, and there's pain, and there's suffering, but I'm learning even in the midst of these that it's drawing me closer to God, and I'm starting to get some gain from this. I'm starting to see things from a different perspective. In this loss and in this pain, they're peeling back who I am. I'm starting to see more about who I am, and it's solidifying my faith, and it's helping me to see who I truly am in the core of my being. Because when loss comes, and when pain comes, and when suffering comes, often it brings with those things some very deep questions. You're experiencing something and it's driven you to your knees, and you're wondering why you're having to go through this and why you're having to experience this. And it's what it's doing is it's revealing some things. It's showing some things, and it's causing me to make some considerations. I dare say probably some of the most serious questions and contemplations we have ever made have been in the midst of loss and pain and suffering. Some true introspection of self. True getting down to where the rubber meets the road, they say, the true makeup of who I am. Can I make it? Will I be able to overcome? Will I be able to find joy in this suffering? I'm weeping now. I'm enduring pain and grief and suffering and loss. But is there some joy to be had? Is there gain that I can somehow get from this? See, I've said this many times. Loyalty is proven in adversity. And with every loss comes the opportunity to gain fellowship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. There is no more, I wouldn't think, iconic symbol of pain and suffering than the cross. And yet Jesus said, if you want relationship with me, and it's going to come by way of a cross. It's going to come by way of some agony and some suffering and some pain. I know this is not popular teaching, and I know this is stuff that we would rather in our flesh avoid. And it's the reason why this concept is so hard to grasp sometimes. It's the reason why we'd rather not hear teaching like this. It's the reason why, because it puts an importance where we'd rather not have an importance. You mean that it's important, it's maybe even essential that in my life I experience some pain and some suffering and some loss? And I would say yes. Loyalty is proven in adversity. When I have that loss, and when I have that suffering, and when I'm getting real with God as to why this is happening and why I'm going through this. You know, it's unfortunate that many times in some people's lives, they only get real with God and the sense of relationship with Him when they experience loss, when they experience suffering. Now it's time to really get on my face before Him. It's in those desperate times and in those wanderings, and then we come before Him, and then we decide. No, let me just bring it into maybe our sphere of what's going on in our social world. I don't know if you've noticed all the talk about the end times now that we've had all these catastrophes and calamities. I don't know, but it's kind of blown up my social media. It's like all of a sudden, now that the world is experiencing a manifold catastrophes and calamities, it's all of a sudden like maybe our attention should be on other things. Like maybe our focus should be narrowed a little bit, and all this other fluff and all this other stuff that's out there that we spend so much time on, and it occupies so much of who we are. Maybe that stuff doesn't matter as much as we thought it did. Amazing how loss and suffering can bring things into perspective. It's amazing how that when someone loses another who is very near and dear to their heart, how that those, even the small moments they had with them, now matter. And they look back on things that maybe up until that point they'd have just quickly gone by, but now there's something to hang on to. Now that there's a moment that they remember, that they had the time and opportunity, and it's amazing how that happens, how that loss and suffering will all of a sudden your focus is it's different. I think about this, and it's not morbid thinking, it's thinking that helps me keep things in perspective sometime. God forbid, but if I were to lose one of my children, catch this, I would never look back and think to myself, man, I should have gone off and played golf more. I should have gone off and went fishing. And I understand you can incorporate those things with your children. What I'm trying to say is it causes you to put things in perspective, where all of a sudden things which matter or we thought really matter don't really matter as much. And we gain perspective and we gain understanding about what truly is essential and what truly is important. Look at what Paul said. Philippians 3:8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung or waste, that I may win Christ. What are you saying, Paul? I'm understanding that loss is more. I'm understanding that I gain from losing. I understand, and all these things I've suffered the loss of all things. But I count them as waste, that I may gain or win Christ. I'm understanding that all these things that so many people place so much importance upon, they really don't matter as much. They're a waste in comparison. And the more that I understand the loss, the more I see the benefit, the more I'm able to grasp the concept that loss is more. That I gain in my walk in relationship with Jesus as I lose a lot of the other stuff. That in the grand picture really doesn't matter as much. Look at this, verse 10. And says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. What are you saying, Paul? Paul's saying that I come to know Him more when I suffer. I have more fellowship with Him when I suffer. I'm able to gain from the loss. I'm able to see what others can't see because they're not willing to suffer. But because I'm willing to suffer, I'm having fellowship with Him. And ultimately, I'm made conformable unto His death. Psalms 30 and 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now we love that scripture because of the end. Joy comes in the morning, but understand this. Joy in the morning is preceded by weeping in the night. The joy that comes with the sunrise is preceded only by the weeping that came at sundown. Weeping endures, but joy comes in the morning. What are you saying, Pastor? This, that I find joy in the morning. I find joy in the sunrise, but it's because I'm able to gain from the loss during the weeping in the night. I'm able to see and understand things a little bit differently. I have a different perspective now. And the weeping endured for the night. Joy came in the morning. And the reason why joy came in the morning is because I was able to understand that loss is more. And even though I weep during the night, the suffering and the loss brought me into a deeper relationship with God. Deep sorrow and pain often has the effect of stripping life of pretense, vanity, and waste. It forces us to ask basic questions about what is most important in life. Suffering can lead to a simpler life, less cluttered with non-essentials. It is wonderfully clarifying. That is why many people who suffer sudden and severe loss often become different people. That's a great quote, but I want you to notice the bottom of that quote. Man's name is Jerry Sitzer. He wrote this in his book titled A Grace Disguised, How the Soul Grows Through Loss, written after he lost his wife, 4-year-old daughter, and mother, all at one time in a car accident. Wow. Somehow he was able to understand that even in that loss, I can imagine the grief and the sorrow. I can't imagine 3 generations. You think about it. Mother, wife, and daughter, all at once. But he says in his quote, it was wonderfully clarifying. How you say that, Jerry? How could you pen those words? How could you entitle a book, Grace Disguised? How? Because he understood the concept that even in loss, there's more. And even in those times of utter grief and sorrow and pain, there's stuff to be found. There's clarity, there's understanding, there's gain to be had even in the loss. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's God in the giving and he's God in the taking. But this I've come to know about God. What he gives in return exceeds whatever was taken. There are epic losses and there are everyday losses. But sufferings, big and small, have a way of awakening the soul and have us noticing things we often rushed by and took for granted. Oh. How true that is. Those losses, those sufferings, big and small, they somewhat awaken the soul where we realize and we start to narrow our focus into what really matters and what it's really I'm about. If calamity were to strike and I were to lose those things near and dear to me and precious, would I have what it takes? Would I be able to stand firm? Would I be able to stare at loss in the face and not be swallowed up in despair? Would I be able to find gain in the loss. See, we recognize this in reality as human beings. There are times, or maybe it's just me, there are times in our lives where we recognize and we almost wonder what it would be like to experience such heartbreak and such grief. We try to empathize when we hear of people and what they've gone through, and then we ask the honest question, I wonder how I would handle that. I wonder what I would do in that situation. I wonder how I would be able to cope. I wonder if I would just go insane. I don't know how I'd even be able to keep my sanity. I don't know what I'd do in life. I don't know where I'd go. I don't know. So many questions. And there are some questions that we cannot answer until we have the experience. Think about that. There are some questions we cannot truth. We may think we know. We may even believe that type of integrity and character exists in our being, and that we would be able to stand fast, and we would not give up hope, and we would not lose faith, and we would not turn away. But it would only be in the midst of that circumstance or that trial that we would truly know. Well, we can speculate all that we want. On the outside looking in, we can make all kinds of assumptions and assertions about how we would handle it and what we would do and how we would be able to overcome. But the reality is, if we were ever inside the circumstance, what then would we do? Would we have what it takes? Would we be able to find those things wonderfully clarifying? Would we be able to find the gain in the midst of loss? Would we be able to spring up from it? Not be swallowed up by it. One of the things that we gain in suffering and loss is when we come through it on the other side, we gain an understanding that I can make it through. I can overcome. It's better to go where pain and loss lead, down to the ground floor where all the real things are, real love, real faith, real hope, real gain. We'll talk about real relationship with God. I heard the story. I may not get all the details correct, but a young aspiring minister came up, and elder minister came down and was praying over him, and the younger minister looked up at the elder minister and said, "Elder, I want you to pray your anointing on my life." The elder minister said, "Are you sure you want me to pray that, son?" He said, "Yes, sir, I do." So the elder minister put his hands on him and began to pray and said, "Lord, let his family reject him. Lord, let his children walk away from you. Lord, let him build a church and then have it the building fund go dry. Lord," and he began to pray all of these calamities on this young minister, and he's young minister all of a sudden wasn't so into the prayer anymore. And he looked to the elder minister and said, "Well, I wanted you to pray your anointing on me." He said, "Son, how do you think I got this anointing?" What are you saying? I'm saying that he understood that in the midst of that loss, and then you see the young minister didn't have the concept yet. He didn't truly understand. He wanted what he saw. You know, he wanted the power in the ministry, but he didn't understand the road that got that elder minister to where he was. And it was a road full of loss and pain and suffering. Think if we were to ask Job if loss is more, his resounding reply would be, "Yes. Yes, loss is more." Job, did it hurt when they came and told you you lost all of this, your sons and your daughters, the house and the walls fell upon it? Did it hurt? Were you suffering, Job, when you sat there and you scraped your skin that was full of boils with the edge of a pot, trying to get some relief? Were you suffering, Job? Oh, yes. Job, is loss more? Oh, yes. For when God restores, yes, He is the God that gives and the God that takes away. But when He gives, understand this, He is never a God that leaves you and I deficient. And even in loss, and even in pain, and even in suffering, there's something there for me. There's something to be gained in the midst of it. There's something, there's a nugget of truth and understanding that will lead my life, that will help me see God's plan for me. And it draws me into a deeper relationship with Him where things are real, where real stuff happens, and real circumstances and real problems and real sufferings and real pain. So I'm sorry if you're one of those that thinks that it's all blessings. It's all parties and good times. It's not. How would we grow? How would we mature in the things of God? How would we become better and stronger? And how would we know? How would, unless we were able to stare it in the face and overcome it, how would we know we could overcome it? How would we know that we would make it through to the other side until we actually make it through to the other side? I know that when He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Yeah, that's my hope and that's my prayer, but I only know on the other side. I only truly know when I'm able to overcome and look back at the loss and the suffering and say, oh, it was hurtful and it was painful and I dealt with a lot of grief and sorrow. But when I look back, I see, oh, how I grew. How I matured in that circumstance. How God solidified some things in my spirit. How some questions that heretofore were unanswered, even in the layers that make up me. How that in the midst of that loss, and in the midst of that suffering, and in the midst of that pain, those questions were answered. And I came forth on the other side, and looking back, I can honestly say, loss is more. I gained from it. In closing, you can stand to your feet. I've made the statement before, I'm sure some of you as well. Hear of tragedy or calamity in someone's life, if it's a loss of a loved one. I know I've made this statement. I just don't know how people do it without God. I don't know how they make it through. I don't know how they come out on the other side. Here's the reality. They don't. See, God's there. They may fail to notice Him. They may fail to understand that's what it is. They may fail to understand that He's the reason why they can't open their eyes the next morning. He's the reason why, even though they look back over it and wish it was just all a nightmare, but it's reality now, and it's what they have to deal with. And even though they don't know that it's Him and that He's helping them, that He's there, and He's trying to reveal Himself to them in the midst of their loss, in the midst of their tragedy. And I've made the statement, I don't know how they make it without God. They don't! He's there, even though they don't recognize Him, and even though they don't understand, He's there, and He wants relationship with them, and He wants them to reach up and say, hey, Jesus, take my hand. Show me what I can gain from all this. Lead me in the way that You would have me to go, so that on the other side of this, I can look back and say, loss is more. Lord Jesus, we love You. I know sometimes concepts of Your word are so difficult to grasp, God. They go so against our own nature, God, and self-preservation, God. To find joy in diverse temptation, Lord, to really, truly understand that in the midst of all that, in the midst of losses and pain and suffering, You're there. Extend relationship, Lord. Reveal who we really are. You know us better than we know ourselves. And sometimes, Lord, you, like you did with Job, you allow loss and you allow tragedy and you allow things to happen in our life, because sometimes it takes those things for us to look heavenward and really see and understand that you still have it all in your hands. My prayer, hope, God, when life brings those situations and circumstances and loss and suffering occurs, it is my hope and prayer, Lord, that there is grace there for me and for others, that we can find that loss is more. And we can truly know you, follow you, denying ourselves, taking up our crosses, following you. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this evening. You may go in Jesus' precious name.